Hello, loyal listeners of the Volunteer State. This is Mike Wilson, joined by John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. We are talking Tennessee basketball today with five regular season games left, starting out at Auburn on Saturday, and it's at Arkansas next week. So a pair of tough ones here for Tennessee, but that's not what we're going to talk about here first today. Instead, we're going to talk about a certain player on Tennessee's team. Now, last five games here, this player has scored 17 points, 25 points, 14 points, 16 points, and 22 points. Who are we talking about, John?
Grant Williams.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah. We're talking about a post guy.
Yeah, and we're talking about a guy with 7 rebounds, 9 rebounds, 8 rebounds, and 7 rebounds in his last four.
And playing pretty good defense, too.
Playing pretty good defense. Kind of really scoring well in the post. And we are, of course, talking about John Fulkerson.
Who'd have thunk it?
I know. And that's kind of, I think, where we're starting this is, this has been a really impressive growth from John Fulkerson from moderately used role player last year into almost 20 points a game in his last five games through SEC play.
Yeah, I never saw this coming. I couldn't have. If you would have told me he would average those numbers, now that was before Lamonte Turner went out with the shoulder injury, I would have said, well, Tennessee's definitely in the NCAA tournament. I never expected them to get this much production out of him. And we laughingly talk about Grant Williams. However, he does some of the same things that Grant Williams does.
And just doesn't do them as consistently, but yes.
No, but he has, and I think he's doing it more consistently. He's having longer stretches now than he used to. It used to be just a few spurts where he would show you something and think, hey, maybe this guy could be pretty good. And now we're seeing it for longer stretches. But the main thing impresses me about when he gets the ball in the post, if he gets it down really low, you can't stop him from scoring or drawing a foul. But he also, just his pivot moves, mm-hmm. reminds me so much of Grant Williams, where he'll make 1, 2, 3 moves and the defender, unless he's really patient and really focused, he's apt to eventually get off balance and foul him. So I think he's had a tremendous year, and I never saw this coming.
Yeah, he's scored in double digits in all but 3 SEC games, which is really remarkable. And what I think is impressive is the last one he scored single digits in was Mississippi State. And Rick Barnes, after that game, was just really annoyed by John Fulkerson. Felt like he didn't look for his shot, didn't do this, didn't do that. Think he might have been feeling a little ill that game, if I'm not mistaken. Come out on a tear the last five games. But you're talking Grant Williams, and what I think is the most interesting thing that John Fulkerson's doing is the rate of getting to the free throw line. He scored 17 points the other night on 8 field goals. He scored 25 points at South Carolina on 12 field goals. 14-6 before that, 16-10, 22-9. He's scoring so many points at the free throw line. And that's something that this Tennessee team really didn't have until he started really asserting himself like that. His lowest free throw total in his last five games is 8. And he didn't have 8 in any game this season before that. So what he's doing is finding ways to score, being creative scoring, he's rebounding the ball at the same time. And my question for you is he now an all-SEC guy this year?
I think it's close, but I think what he would have to do, he would have to really finish strong. Mm. I think the numbers he's been putting up, he needs to produce those kind of numbers against Auburn. Mm-hmm. He plays Auburn twice.
Yeah.
Austin Wiley is a post player against Kentucky. Nick Richards.
Terry Blackshear at Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are
some big challenges here.
If he does that and keeps playing that way, he has a shot at it. I think right now, we talked about this before we did the podcast, but Nick Richards, mm-hmm. Reggie Perry, and Mississippi State.
They're a lock in the media team.
Yeah.
So the way this works, media team, first and second team, 5 players. Coaches panel, I think, has 8 on each team. I would say John Fulkerson's a lock to be on one of those coaches' teams with 16 total players on it.
With 16 total players,
okay. I think he's a lock to be on there, especially because I think, too, coaches are more apt to respect John Fulkerson right now than the media is, because coaches, I don't know if you were at the Texas A&M game, but Buzz Williams had John Fulkerson off to the side and was raving about how efficient of a player John Fulkerson has become. And Buzz Williams recruited Fulkerson to Virginia Tech, but just raving about his efficiency. He said he was the most efficient player in the league over 6'6", or something to that effect. And I think coaches really look at his game and love that. Like Mike Kotzar from South Carolina, who Rick Barnes raves about. I think conversely, coaches feel the same way about John Fulkerson, a guy who's gotten better and better and really just does so many things for a team.
Yeah, and those guys, they're very similar players when you talk about Kotzar at South Carolina. One of the things that, to me, interesting about John Fulkerson is Rick Barnes' assessment of him. I can remember when I thought he would never be more than a minor role player and come off the bench. And Barnes was always talking him up. And it sometimes when that happens, you think the coach is talking on what he wishes the player would become.
Mm-hmm.
Not what he really is. But Barnes was dead on about John Fulkerson. He saw potential of him in him that I didn't see. I don't think a lot of people saw this kind of potential.
And this is my third year covering Tennessee now, and the first 2 years were spent with Rick Barnes consistently saying, we need John Fulkerson. Like, that was his refrain. We need John Fulkerson. And it was the kind of thing that after a while, I just started rolling my eyes a little bit. Like, oh my gosh, like, nah, this guy's a role player. That's all he's going to be. But Rick Barnes knows what John Fulkerson was his first few games of his career before he got hurt. And I think he's being that player now. And, you know, it's funny, Grant Williams really emerged after Fulkerson got hurt and had the next 2.5 years of just phenomenal play. But it makes you wonder what Grant Williams and John Fulkerson together might have looked like if Fulkerson had developed at this rate. But yeah, you know, Rick Barnes spent 2 years saying that, and now we're seeing that, but he's still saying similar things. You know, Fulkerson's the reason that Tennessee beat Vanderbilt the other night. He scored 11 of 13 points at a point in the game where they were really dicey, and he blocked a couple shots. They won the game because of him. But Rick Barnes, after the game, was more interested in talking about the things that Fulkerson could have done, how he wasn't really there early in the game mentally. And so you see a coach who's going out here, and he's been saying we need him for 2 years. He's playing up to a level, but he's still saying, got to be better than that.
Well, I think we see a guy that we thought a lot of assessments are now are based on what you imagine the player would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing a guy that's surprisingly successful, and we're going, wow, look at those numbers. Whereas Barnes is seeing a guy who he believes is an all-SEC caliber mm-hmm. player, but when you're an all-SEC caliber player, you've got to play that way nine in and nine out. And I think that's why when he was discussing that post-game, he was talking about when you're that kind of player, teams scheme for you. And you've got to get accustomed to that and be ready to deal with that game after game. And I think that's what he's saying about Fulkerson, because you look at other teams now, when they start breaking down Tennessee, they start saying, well, we can't let Fulkerson get here. We can't let him get there. We've got to watch this, got to watch that. You can't let him draw you into a foul. He becomes a focal point of a scouting report.
I'd argue he is the focal point
yeah.
of a Tennessee scouting
yeah.
report.
Currently. Yeah, he would be. He would be. And that's, I mean, imagine how many players come that far. I mean, you don't see this happen very often. When we're sitting here talking before the season, we're saying, oh, my gosh, Tennessee in the post, they just don't have enough to win in this league. That's what you're wondering about. That's a question. And you're thinking other players. You just can't envision Fulkerson becoming what he has become. But it's very real, and he's got one more year to go.
And it's certainly, I think we assume to some extent too, we saw, well, after the injury got back, we saw 2 years of nice role player. And you kind of assume that that's probably what a player is. But yeah, going into this year, I did not expect to be talking in late February about John Fulkerson, potential all-SEC forward. But at this point, I think it would be a shame if he wasn't, given that recognition with how he's played. Likewise, I think, you know, if we're talking postseason honors, I wonder if Eve Pons is in that conversation for defensive player of the year. Guy has a block in every game this year, blocking 2.5 shots a game. And that's obviously not the lone thing that comes into consideration, but I think it's something that lingers with people when they see a basketball volleyball spiked into the stands by a player who honestly can guard just about any position on the floor as well.
I know he's a player that, I mean, we expected a lot of that from him defensively. I think yes. He's obviously improved his offensive game. That's a bonus. But defensively, he's gotten better, and he just looks stronger. Almost seems as though he's jumping higher. I'm sure he hasn't really raised his vertical jump.
Terrifying,
but it seems so high, and he's such a factor. And I think that's a factor in teams preparing for Tennessee too. His defense. You get a breakaway against Tennessee, and you're going for the basket. You've got to think. You almost
a scary
wanna,
man coming behind
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you're almost peeking over your shoulder because you want to go up, and then this guy knocks it into the third row, and you look really silly. So I think he's a big factor now defensively.
So do I. And, you know, we'll transition from that to talking postseason for Tennessee. And you know, is that something that I think we can look at this now and say the NCAA tournament's hard to envision? You know, Tennessee's 15-11. 6-5 in the league, really hard schedule remaining here. But I think certainly you have to think there's a possibility of, you know, if you win four of these games, you're actually in the NCAA tournament, but hard to see that happening. How important is it for this team to get to the postseason? And obviously we're looking more NIT there, but how important is it for this team to reach the postseason in any capacity?
I think most people look at the postseason as the NCAA tournament. If you don't make that, it's really not a successful year, which I understand. I think when you look at the NIT, I think it becomes more of a factor depending on what kind of team you have. With Tennessee, you have a team with a lot of people coming back. They lose Jordan Bowden. That's pretty much it, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
Okay, so if this team can get, it's not just getting into the NIT. It's not as though that's some great achievement. Hey, you made the NIT, put up a banner. No, if Tennessee could get in the NIT and make a run, I think it might have a carryover effect in terms of confidence and preseason ranking going into next year with all the guys coming back. And I think it would serve the team well to get on that kind of run. Tennessee hasn't been able to get on any kind of run this year.
No, they haven't won back-to-back games since January. They had two-game winning streaks in January early, but really slumped through the middle of SEC play.
Yeah, and I think it would really benefit this team if they played several games in the NIT. You go one and done in the NIT, I don't think it means much.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly where I'm at on it. It's very important for this team to do two things to me. One, play as many games of basketball as possible this season. I mean, we're talking about guys like Olivier Kamwa, Uroš Plaušić, Drew Pember, players that Tennessee needs next year that just need to keep getting better and better and better. And they're going to do that by playing. But I also think there's an importance to getting games in a tournament environment. Because certainly when you project ahead to next season, you see that recruiting class that Tennessee is bringing in. There's an excitement around, I think, what Tennessee can be next year. But next year kind of starts right now. I think there's an importance for this group of figuring some of these things out and having some of that experience. So you don't go into next season's postseason without any sense of what it feels like to play in a one in your season's over environment. And no, the NIT isn't glamorous if that's where Tennessee ends up, assuming that's where they end up. But there's a lot of merit to be gained for a young team like this that, I mean, for one, needs basketball, for two, has a bright future next year. But I also think there's this to this, and this just kind of came to my mind now, is there's a value for this team in that being an achievement after losing Lamonte Turner. Because there's a certain factor to which this season could have gone completely down the drain when Lamonte Turner hung it up, and Santiago Vescovi joining changed their kind of high points this year. But being able to rally together with this team after losing your no doubt best player, your leader, your best defender, I mean, so many things that Lamonte Turner was for this team, that's an achievement still.
Well, and also, we haven't mentioned this tournament, but if Tennessee can win a couple of games in the SEC tournament, it would help too. And I think that's in the one respect where we look at this conference, and there's so much balance in the conference. There's no super team in this league when you go out there and think, not much chance against these guys. No, you got a shot against pretty much everybody. Yeah. Might not win, but the worst team in the league can play Kentucky, maybe the best team, right down the stretch.
Georgia beat
Auburn
last night.
Yeah.
And Auburn is down Isaac Okoro, but nonetheless, still a surprising win.
Yeah, it's so we see that. And so you go, if Tennessee can play well, And that's probably too much to ask for this team to win 4 out of 5 against this schedule.
Yeah, again, but the schedule down the stretch is at Auburn, at Arkansas, versus Florida, at Kentucky, versus Auburn. Yeah.
But what if you win 2 out of 3 and you play the other 3 games really close? To me, that would give you some kind of confidence.
Yeah.
So that if when you go into the SEC tournament, you think, well, we were competitive against these guys. We're playing them on a neutral floor now. Why can't we win this game? So I think it would really, there is something to be gained from finishing strong, even if it's not strong enough for the NCAA tournament.
And I certainly agree. And yeah, I mean, when you looked at this schedule before the season, the SEC slate was kind of broken into 3 parts for Tennessee, where it's kind of a nice start, kind of picked up the pace in the middle, which is where Tennessee has struggled. And then it really hits hard at the end. And I think when that schedule was laid out, you're thinking, all right, well, Tennessee, Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden, and you know, Rick Barnes the other day, I thought, had some wonderful comments about this team where he basically said, if you told me before the year Lamonte Turner would be done midseason, Jordan Bowden would have the worst shooting year of his career by far, and this is where Tennessee would be. And then he just kind of jumped his thought to he's really proud of this team. And I think there's a value in that and an understanding in that of it's been a very bizarre season to cover from a media perspective. So I can only imagine how bizarre of a season this has been to go through as a coaching staff and a team. So whatever you're able to build on now, and that's why I think making any sense of postseason NIT or NCAA tournament is a nice achievement, because this season's been very different. Last year, Tennessee went through that whole season with its roster intact, no big injuries, nothing massive to speak of, and was able to do what it did. But this team has been bump, 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 bump along the way. And whatever you're able to achieve with that and overcome whatever adversity they've had, I think speaks to what the team can have.
Well, I think it's interesting that Barnes did say he was proud of this team, because he's a pretty hard-nosed coach.
Yes.
I mean, he gives more negative feedback. That players get more negative feedback probably than positive from him. We talked about Fulkerson earlier. I think he's very realistic, and I think he has a good read on what he thinks players are capable of doing. And in his mind, as a group, they've exceeded that. So that's kind of a nice compliment to these players.
It is. And now that is all from us today here on the Volunteer State Basketball Edition. Stay tuned for more of these heading into the great month of March.
March Madness.
March Madness. It's always great.
March Sadness sometimes.
Sometimes for all but one team, technically. Hi, I'm Mike Wilson, and I cover Tennessee basketball for Knox News. One thing I love about my job is being able to bring unique stories about the Tennessee basketball team to light. Every day I get to do this through the relationships built, and it's awesome because these players and the team is more than just the games that you see on the court at Thompson Bowling Arena. Without the support of Knox News, I would never be able to do this rewarding job that I love. If you want to hear more stories like this, consider becoming a subscriber by going to knoxnews.com/subscribe. Thank you for listening, and thank you for reading.